Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
All right, reserved for action stemming from the shade meeting last night, but it's really, I really just wanted to state my opinion, and I'm not sure if we wanted the Mayor Pro Tem to take the mayor's spot at the moment. But there are things that I do want to say, and I don't know if you want to be here or not, and I can leave that up to you. I'm not sure how to work it.
Is there a reason for me to be excused from this portion of the meeting?
Unless the presiding of the meeting is going to result in any conflict, not necessarily. If there is a conflict situation that arises, and I'll have to be cognizant of that. And
please advise me accordingly if you see that.
I will do so.
All right, so what's going on here is you're hearing a couple of voices. Robert Leake is the primary voice, and you're going to hear a lot of him. He's going to talk for the next 45 minutes. Anyway, he's one of the new city council, new and former city council members. Heather Lindsay, of course, is the mayor. She's the presiding officer of the official city council meeting. And the other voice there is Eric Mead. He is the attorney. He is also with the law firm that Alex Andrade is with. Alex was not there at this meeting, and Eric Mead was there. And what they're talking about is there was a shade meeting the day before on Monday. The shade meeting was to discuss what to do with the lawsuit by the city against Mayor Heather Lindsay to produce hundreds of, at least, and maybe thousands of public records that she has not produced, that a judge had ordered her to produce, and that was supposed to have been produced by yesterday, as in real time yesterday, and was not produced yesterday for a variety of reasons we'll get to later. But Robert Leake's first question is, well, do you want to stay here since you're presiding over a meeting in which we're going to talk about the legal strategy of continuing a lawsuit against you? And, you know, when this had come up previously, she did leave. And she's like, "Why do I need to leave?" And I think Eric is right. It depends on whether you presiding is going to, you know, be a conflict. And I would say that later on in the meeting, her presiding absolutely was a conflict because she allowed people to continue to engage in personal attacks against Alex Andrade that were not germane to the question of whether the lawsuit should be continued. But that was really what Robert Leake did for the next 40 minutes. So it was, you know, presiding over the meeting turns out to have actually mattered quite a bit. But okay. The other instruction from Eric Mead, the attorney, again, city attorney sitting in for Alex Andrade, who's the normal city attorney, was whatever you do, don't talk about what happened in the shade meeting. Shade meetings are taking place under sunshine rules, but outside of the sunshine for now until the legal matter goes away, and then all of those transcripts become public. No, they're not public yet. Trust me, as soon as they are, I will have them because the lawsuit itself has not been resolved yet. But Eric is giving them an instruction of whatever you're going to talk about, Robert, just don't talk about the shade meeting, because even talking about who said what or what argument was made is a disclosure of something that shouldn't be disclosed yet.
Because there's litigation ongoing, and because there has been a shade meeting in respect of litigation, the privilege that belongs to the city for the limited period of the litigation, which will ultimately become public as far as what occurred in the shade meeting, nevertheless is not public until that is concluded. And so I just want to remind everyone that with regard to any discussion item, I would encourage you to not be extensive, to be as brief as possible, and to in no way reflect what was discussed or determined at the shade meeting.
So I'm going to stop you from saying anything that shouldn't be said about what happened in the shade meeting, because stuff in the shade, you know, it's like Vegas, right? You know, shade meeting stays in the shade meeting. You know, the only way to keep the shade meeting secret is to not talk about the shade meeting. Anyway, so Robert Leake is going to begin his very long soliloquy. I mean, it was 35 minutes, 40 minutes, something in that vicinity. It was so long. Oh, my goodness. Him laying out his case of why he thought this lawsuit was misguided and based on, you know, personal animus and dysfunctional working relationships, not based on any element of the law.
Last night in the shade meeting, it was mentioned that the shade meeting was the first for
Again,
the city.
I caution you, anything said at the shade meeting should not be addressed. It is privileged and is a matter for the council to determine.
Yes.
Don't talk about the shade meeting. What he was saying, though, is it's the first lawsuit in a shade meeting, apparently. It is also the first lawsuit against the mayor in history by the city council.
It was first for the city. From the from my knowledge, and I could be wrong, suing the mayor is also the first for this city. Being the first of its kind, why was it filed? Why wasn't she given other opportunities?
That's a key fact claim, that she wasn't given other opportunities. Because the issue is, the request for public records that came to light because of another public records request with somebody else and this massive dump of information from Tom Powers, who himself is now actually on city council, in which he disclosed that he had had texts from his side with the mayor and some other people. And so then the request was made for the records from Heather's side, and she has not produced them and has said that they didn't exist. And of course, now the judges said, no, they do exist. The judges looked over thousands of them and decided that these ones should definitely be public record. And she has refused to produce them. So why are we having a first of its kind lawsuit against the mayor? Why are we having a shade meeting about, because you have a mayor who's not producing her public records, period. No matter how many times you try. And so this issue of not being given other opportunities, again, is a key fact claim. We'll come back to that. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Boy, I'm just mesmerized by this.
It's amazing. It really is. Go on.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays rolling through Pace or Milton. I'm seeing minor ones if you're headed southbound on the 3 Mile Bridge into Gulf Breeze. But that's just minor congestion, light delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And just, I want to jump ahead to the evidence, okay? So Robert Lee, city council member, who I've never met. I know because I've listened to him talk a few times, and that's about it. He's going to spend the next 35, 40 minutes distracting from the real question of whether the mayor has not produced public records, and therefore whether the city that has basically won the case and is on the verge of getting final results of the records being disclosed and probably getting paid by Mayor Lindsay for their attorney's fees costs, tens of thousands of dollars, okay, whether that lawsuit should be dropped. Okay, and he's going to go through and read a bunch of texts from Alex, because his point is that the real basis of this was the dysfunction in relationships, and that it was Alex Andrade who was the initiator of all of this because of his personal animus against Mayor Heather Lindsay. It's clear they don't like each other very much based on a wide variety of things. The question is ultimately, of course, whether that's the basis of the lawsuit or whether the lawsuit itself has justification. Again, keep in mind, a judge has ruled that she owes these records she has not produced, and they're thinking about dropping the lawsuit to force her to produce her public records. This is Robert Leake reading from a text from Alex Andrade.
He texts, "You ever had a leader who treated subordinates like absolute crap, or let folks outside the chain of command treat subordinates like absolute dog? Just wondering. I spent weeks begging Heather not to force this. All she had to do was call me and get over what was missing. I sent her the lawsuit ahead of time just to beg her not to file it. There are identifiable records that she has refused to produce for no reason, then refused to respond to repeated requests to avoid litigation. It's textbook, basic level stuff."
Yeah, so repeated many times, tried to get her to file it, tried to get her to submit them, and didn't submit them. Evidence exactly against what he claimed earlier, that this was like a sudden thing to file a lawsuit against her, which it most definitely was not, many, many, many times. Now, his claim, Robert Leake's claim, was that this is all based on dysfunction and the city council previously and Alex Andrade wanting to get her to resign.
"The dysfunction in the city council meetings often led to the mayor defending herself. It was very clear that members of the council and city attorney did not want her there. After the filing, there were members of the council asking for her to step down."
Yeah, because she was not producing public records that she is the caretaker of, and all kinds of other things going on with the hiring and non-hiring and the issues around Scott Collins. But certainly there were city council members who did not want her to stay on, okay? And that this is an unreasonable thing to request or require her to produce her public records.
"She's human and has had to go over her records numerous times and send in other texts and emails. The judge says there could be well over 100,000 texts. Who in this room can honestly say that would be an easy task?"
Well, that's literally the job, though. That's literally what you're supposed to do. is oversee your own records and produce them if asked. It might be hard, might be time consuming, but if asked, that's the requirement. That the judge did this. The judge actually had to go through and look at all of these texts and say yes, yes, no, no, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, maybe to all of the texts about which ones and emails, I think also, which ones are public record. Now, he does read some of the other texts. There's profanity in them. You know, I'm not going to play it, obviously, but here goes.
Quote number two, referencing Heather.
This is a text from Alex Andrade.
And you keep lecturing me about saying Cusack was acting like an... There's going to be some words in here that may not be appropriate, but I will read them just as they are. Oh, and to keep lecturing me about saying that Mike Cusack is acting like an ass when Heather's on group text messaging, where I'm referred to as Andrade, is the height of hypocrisy. At the time I said that, Cusack was lying about Collins and what he had done, trying to blame me for simply doing what he had already approved me of doing.
The giant data dump of information that Tom Powers had given to Alex as part of, like, even before the lawsuit, he actually, Tom Powers, now city council member Tom Powers, titled the file Messages for Ass. As in messages he put together for Alex Andrade. Like, the level of pettiness and bickering on both sides, okay? No doubt. I actually agree with Robert. There's sort of a lot on both sides that could have been done a whole lot better. So, including Heather trying to get Ed Spears, Randy Jorgensen, Alex Andrade either in trouble or lose bar licenses. That was part of the issue, is she filed a complaint with the bar against Alex as mayor, which the city council did not vote on, which was not really her official duty or her authority to file it as mayor. That becomes an issue because then those records of the drafts of the lawsuit, if compiled as mayor, would be public record, and she didn't want to produce those.
Quote three, you know, Heather tried to get Randy and me and others criminally prosecuted more than once last year, right? Quote four, Heather asked the state to investigate me and Randy and Snow at least twice last year without telling anybody. Quote five, and Heather went after my bar license over a lie.
So again, the point he's getting at is that there's this fractured working relationship and that's personal stuff is the source of this lawsuit. And very rarely, if ever, talking about whether Heather has produced her records, owes her records, why the judge has ruled that she does owe her records. They were due yesterday. They were not produced by yesterday. So all talking about the psychology and motivation and not talking about the real issue, which is, was the city entitled to these records? They are. Has the mayor produced them? She hasn't. And why hasn't she? I mean, honestly, the more I hear the reluctance and refusal to produce them, the more I wonder, what do they say? that there would be such a fight to produce records that, again, a judge has actually said should be produced.
Those were just to show that there was a little bit of dysfunction going on. Shows that there was not a good working relationship at all.
Oh, that much is clear. I mean, that much is clear. But does that mean that Alex didn't do his job properly, didn't represent the will of the council as a body? I don't think so. I have watched this thing the whole way through. So why was Robert bringing all of this up? Well, because it's an unjustified lawsuit in his mind. It ought to be dropped. The shade meeting the day before is when they talked about this, but they can't talk about what happened in the shade meeting because you can't talk about what happened in the shade meeting.
This lawsuit hits more on a personal level than a professional one. Whatever the city attorney is trying to find, I firmly believe it will not benefit the city and justify spending tax dollars to pursue it. This lawsuit stems from a failed working relationship at the taxpayer's expense.
Okay. The public records are the public records. It doesn't really matter what you think the outcome is. If they're owed, they're owed under the law, and the judges said they're owed under the law. Two, the cost. Oh, yeah, no, it's expensive to force the mayor to simply follow the law and produce the public records that she is supposed to produce. Oh, by the way, the law is so clearly on the city's side in this case that everybody seems to believe that the judge is likely to rule that she's going to owe the city for the lawyer's fees. Meaning, if they drop the case, the city will have eaten the cost of the case. if they pursue the case, it's very likely that the city will be compensated for the cost of the case by Mayor Lindsay, and it won't cost the taxpayers money. So continuing to talk about how this is costing the taxpayers money, you're at the end, you're at the finish line. To drop it now is to give up the claim on the money. And then,
like I said, I would like to end this tonight. I will make a motion for the city attorney to dismiss this lawsuit with prejudice. Also, any resolutions pertaining to the mayor's censure be rescinded.
Second.
That's Mike Cusack seconding. Oh, by the way, this drop it with prejudice is hilarious to me because, I mean, there is a sense in which maybe that's appropriate, but usually it's dismissed with prejudice by a judge, meaning it can't be refiled. The city can't really drop with prejudice because a future council, this council can't bind a future council, so a future council could always file it. This council could change its mind and file it again. Dropping it with prejudice is just a way of saying dropping it real good, like dropping it seriously. It's kind of a nonsense way of saying it. And also, what are they? You might say, well, they would promise not to refile in exchange for something, but that would be in exchange for something from the defendant, in this case, the mayor. And they're not getting anything from the mayor. So they're adding a voluntary abandonment of future filing, getting nothing in exchange. That's terrible negotiating. But anyway, that's where we are. And there, oh my God, there's so much more. Trust me, Act 3 and 4 are coming. Next hour, 8 o'clock, next hour, 7 o'clock, next hour. John, is it entertaining so far?
Why do you do this to me? Okay. I'm like, I want the story
to continue.
Can I
jump, just jump ahead a little bit?
Yeah.
They actually vote to drop the lawsuit, to abandon the need to get the public records and the chance of getting all of the attorney's fees back, and they're going to vote to find different attorneys. And,
and
the attorneys are going to take themselves off the law case because they feel like the city council's vote was illegal and they're asking them to do something illegal as attorneys. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like the craziest Mexican soap opera ever, courtesy of the city of Milton. And Eric Mead, the sitting in city attorney, is going to scold them real good a bunch and we'll see where it goes. Okay, traffic on the fives with prejudice.
Oh,
John Pickens.
Boy, and she still hasn't produced the...
No, that's right. Still hasn't.
Okay. Anyway, no accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to see some just minor delays. I'd say a five-minute delay going through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Got a junk car lying around. Call the best junk man in this town. Frank buys junk cars. Frank buys junk cars. Got a car that's killing your grass? We'll call the junk car king for some quick cash. Frank buys junk cars.
850-525-2035. Frank buys junk cars.
The cost of healthcare is in the news. Tune in tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program as well as the 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds they now offer. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and the cost of healthcare. Tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
The
Good morning, 629 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Steve Taylor sitting in for David Wayne all this week with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. The U.S. is holding talks with Russia over ending the war in Ukraine. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is part of the U.S. delegation meeting today. He's joined by National Security Advisor Mike Walls and a special envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff. Ukraine's not taking part of the talks. President Volodymyr Zelensky notes the lack of an invite for him to be there. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. One of the things that the Trump administration has done that has driven me absolutely up the wall is the Gulf of America nonsense. And they actually have begun punishing reporters and news organizations that do not use that language. I'll tell you about that coming up next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The top Trump administration and Russian diplomats meet in Saudi Arabia about improving relations and ending the war in Ukraine.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine was not invited and that they won't acknowledge any agreements without being present at the table. Zelensky himself is in the Middle East as well, where he is meeting with officials in the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer, the acting head of the Social Security Administration, resigns over efforts by Elon Musk's Doge cost-cutting team to access Americans' personal information. Musk tells Fox opponents of the president have become completely irrational.
They call it like Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. And I don't, you know, you don't realize how real this is until, like, it's, you can't reason with people.
He's interviewed alongside President Trump by Fox's Sean Hannity, airing tonight. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 37 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. An 18-year-old Baker girl is dead following a head-on crash with a tractor-trailer in Santa Rosa County yesterday afternoon. The Florida Highway Patrol says the crash happened in the Munson area about 1:30 p.m. on Highway 4 at Hurricane Lake Road. According to troopers, a 56-year-old Milton man was driving the tractor-trailer, and he suffered minor injuries. Traffic on Highway 4 at Hurricane Lake Road was closed off as a result of that accident. No further details are available. More than 20 units responded to a warehouse fire in West Pensacola last night. It happened around 6:15 p.m., and it happened at BGS Marine Sales right off Navy Boulevard, which is a company that sells and repairs boats. One of the four co-owners says tools and 9 boats were inside the warehouse, and they were burned. 3 boats outside of the building burned as well. No injuries were reported. The main concern when fighting this fire was fuel and gasoline. Crews worked to keep that fuel from spreading out of the boats for several hours. Channel 3 News spoke with BGS Marine Sales President and CEO Dan Blockage.
Freak accident. We don't know what the root cause was, but the main shop building is totally destroyed. The contents are destroyed also. It's burned. It was a very intense fire. The building's warped. The roof's caved in. But we're preparing to open up tomorrow. It's tough. I'll tell you that. It's tough. A lot invested in there. But it's about all I can say.
Escambia County Fire Rescue, the Pensacola Fire Department, and Gulf Coast Emergency Services with Pensacola NES all responded to the fire. Exactly who sparked the blaze is still unknown. The Pensacola Ice Flyers have announced the immediate dismissal of head coach Gary Graham as the team struggles at the bottom of the Southern Professional Hockey League standings. Graham, who led the Ice Flyers to the first President Cup Championship back in 2013, returned to the team in 2023. In a move to address the team's current challenges, former Ice Flyers head coach Rod Aldoff will take over as interim head coach for the rest of the season. Aldoff, who previously guided the team to 3 championship victories, is expected to bring his extensive experience and leadership to that role. The SS United States was set to leave Philadelphia and make its journey to the Gulf Coast today, but once again, high winds delayed the departure until tomorrow. The original departure was scheduled for yesterday, then postponed until today. Now, hopefully, the departure of the SS United States will take place tomorrow. That, of course, is weather permitting. And speaking of the weather, let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful and mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures near 62 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. As you go into Wednesday, showers will move in. Heavy rain through the morning hours, 90% chance of rain. High on Wednesday near 58 degrees. Temperatures dropping Wednesday night near 32 degrees. On Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 49 and a low near 28. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center. Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. And traffic is really starting to back up if you're on 98 going eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. We're seeing some backups there. Also, if you're approaching the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile, I'm starting to see some backups going both east and westbound on 9 Mile, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, it's a beautiful sunrise, 37 degrees in Pensacola, 41 in Gulf Breeze, and 36 in Milton at 6:35. Next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
White House official made the decision to bar the AP reporter from the Oval Office and the diplomatic reception room last night.
Well, first of all, let me just set the record straight. It is a privilege to cover this White House. It's a privilege to be the White House press secretary. And nobody has the right to go into the Oval Office and ask the President of the United States questions. That's an invitation that is given. And there are hundreds of outlets on this campus, many of you in this room who don't have the privilege of being part of that pool every single day and getting to ask the President questions. We reserve the right to decide who gets to go into the Oval Office, and you all have credentials to be here, including the Associated Press, who is in this briefing room today.
So here's the background. As you may have heard, the president has declared it the Gulf of America instead of the Gulf of Mexico. Now the Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is threatening to sue, apparently, or I'm not sure what she would have. The idea is that the countries only control things out to, you know, the territorial boundary of your waters and the international waters, and therefore we don't have the power to, okay, whatever. I don't think that lawsuit's going anywhere, but fine. I have said repeatedly this is an incredibly stupid thing. It's the Gulf of Mexico. Stop becoming the word police. Stop changing language. Stop, you know, PC in any direction, even if it's patriotic PC, is still PC. It's still a kind of cancel culture. It's still wokeism. It's just, it's the kind of thing you make fun of when, you know, they want you to use the pronouns and you don't want to use them and they make you use them. And it's the same kind of nonsense. Okay, so the AP has decided that they are going to go with Gulf of Mexico. And in fact, if you're not familiar with it, the AP has this whole style guide that is kind of used by most other news organizations. I don't use all of their style guidance, but the AP style book, it's called, is used by many other news organizations around the world as the guide of how to use language appropriately, accurately in the news reporting. And they are refusing to use Gulf of America. They're saying it's Gulf of Mexico, which is also what I say and what many other people say. And then John Pickens comes in and says,
America.
That's right. No, it's wrong. It's not. But anyway,
America.
And so the AP was excluded from an Oval Office event. They were, their ability to go into the Oval Office and talk to the president was taken away. And she, her answer, Caroline Leavitt's answer is, it's a privilege to cover this president. You're not entitled to go into the Oval Office, which is true, which is true. But to punish, you can't view it any other way, to punish them and to say that they're lying, which is what she will say, is inaccurate. But to punish them for their use of speech is weirdly at odds with the idea that the president is super in favor of the First Amendment. But this will get worse before it gets better. So the follow-up question, isn't this being retaliatory?
Isn't it retaliatory in nature is the argument, because the reason that the AP was barred, which they said was because they're not using the phrase Gulf of America, they're using Gulf of Mexico in line with their standards. And so the question here is this setting a precedent that this White House will retaliate against reporters who don't use the language that you guys believe reporters should use? And how does that align with the First Amendment commitment that you were just talking about?
I couldn't have asked that question better myself. That's exactly the right question. And for a president who campaigned so heavily on opposition to wokeism and particularly on the transgender issue, you know, misleading use of language, you can't simultaneously attack people for trying to control a narrative through the language and trying to mandate that other people use a politically biased kind of language, and then turn around and change the language for political reasons and then punish them for not using the language that you are saying they have to use. There's massive hypocrisy in that, right? So Caroline Leavitt's answer?
I was very upfront in my briefing on day one that if we feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room, we are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is.
Because it's ridiculous. Because it's not the name that anybody has used for, what, 400 years? Because it's absurd and it's an abuse of power and there's no good reason to do it. And we're not going to let the president tell us how to describe things that everybody knows aren't what he says they are. I mean, you know, there are some answers here. She says, you're liars. And they say, we're not. Your boss is changing names in a ridiculous way. Now, there have been other, you know, I thought that McKinley should have stayed McKinley. Renaming it Denali was stupid. Renaming Fort Hood and Fort Bragg as Liberty, are you kidding me? Ridiculous. And by the way, that's been undone. Did you know that Bragg and I think Hood also, but I know Bragg has now been renamed as Bragg. They changed all the signs, now they're changing them all back. Like, it's actually back to being Fort Bragg, thank God. That should have never been done in the first place. But the whole, like, the moral force of making that case is that it's always been this way, even if you don't like the name or that it stands for some Confederate, you know, official, that doesn't mean we should change it. Keep it what it is. Teach, don't change, don't censor, don't 1984 the past. And now here you are 1984ing us for calling it, you know, this Orwellian thing of the Gulf of America. It's ridiculous.
The Secretary of Interior has made that the official designation in the geographical identification name server, and Apple has recognized that. Google has recognized that. Pretty much every other outlet in this room has recognized that body of water as the Gulf of America, and it's very important to this administration that we get that right, not just for people here at home, but also for the rest of the world.
The New York Times, Washington Post have said they will use Gulf of Mexico, except they might note that it's called the Gulf of America by, you know, which is relatively common. Fox News calling it the Gulf of America. Little old WNRP in Pensacola, at least for me, I'm calling it the Gulf of Mexico. You'll never get me to say Gulf of America.
America.
Get John to say it because he's eager to please.
I don't want to be on the Transgressors Memorial Service.
White House Deputy Chief of Staff Taylor Budowich says, the AP continues to ignore the lawful geographic name change of the Gulf of America. This decision is not just divisive, but it also exposes the AP's commitment to misinformation. It's not misinformation any more than trying to say that dead naming. Oh, and Trump even said, where was that post? He even said that continuing to call it the Gulf of Mexico is dead naming it. Oh, I got to go find that. I'm 90% sure it was him that said it. And it wasn't like somebody else posting on his names every once in a while. Sometimes they say it. Things you see online, people who change names of everything from military bases to pancake syrup, right? Aunt Jemima's. Sure seem mad about the Gulf of America thing. Right, because we don't believe in name changes for political purpose. That's the whole idea. Okay, but there's a whole other dimension of this that I haven't gotten to yet. And I am so glad that I didn't jump on the air yesterday and talk about it, because something happened yesterday that's relevant to the conversation. John Pickens has got Traffic on the Fives with prejudice, because that's my new way of saying, you know, when you want to make something sound serious like the Milton City Council, you say with prejudice.
Yes.
Because that's what that means. With prejudice, John Pickens, Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still no accidents to let you know about. Good news on that. We're starting to see some backups if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. We're starting to see just minor delays right now, about a 5-minute delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we are rolling smooth. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, so this one's funny. Somebody says, we still call that big black building with two antenna on top of it the Sears Tower, and you think we're going to stop saying Gulf of Mexico? Exactly. Okay, whenever somebody who seems smart does a thing that's incredibly stupid, you have to ask yourself the question, is there something I'm not seeing? Now, I still think the Gulf of America thing, the Gulf of Mexico thing, is incredibly stupid. But something has come out in the last day that makes it at least a more interesting conversation. Here's what comes out. Sources tell Mark Caputo at Axios that the purpose of all of this is to expose the AP as a politically biased news organization. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Taylor Budowich tells Axios, quote, this isn't just about the Gulf of America. This is about AP weaponizing language through their style book, again, the guide that most journalists use in order to decide how to talk about things, to push a partisan worldview in contrast with the traditional and deeply held beliefs of many Americans and many people around the world. In other words, this is part of Trump's attack on legacy media, which has already not got great reputational power in America, to show that even AP, which many people regard as the standard, neutral, safe news, or I do not. Okay, I do not think AP is that. I think AP leans left, okay, in some very significant ways. I'll talk about that in a second. But what he's saying is they're doing this on purpose to get the reaction they're getting, to get people outraged. Oh, by the way, AP reporters had shown up to an event to cover the president's arrival and were basically excluded from Air Force One over it. So this is real. This is definitely they are excluding AP on purpose over this issue. Punitive, retaliatory, violating free speech. Yes, 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 yes. Is it inappropriate? Yes, it is. Okay, but again, this is what Axios is reporting, is the point of all this is to teach AP the lesson and to get AP to ask the question, are we really being unbiased in our reporting? So the AP still retains her credentials to the White House, even though they have been blocked from Air Force One and blocked from the Oval Office. The other issues, by the way, the AP's answer on this is the Gulf of Mexico has carried that name for more than 400 years. AP will refer to it by its original name while acknowledging the new name Trump has chosen. chosen as a global news agency that disseminates news around the world, the AP must ensure that place names and geography are easily recognizable to all audiences. In the same announcement, they announced the return of Alaska's Mount McKinley, which they will call Mount McKinley. AP says the peak is solely within the United States, and Trump has the authority to change federal geographical names. I never called it Denali. I don't have to call whatever somebody says I should call it. I can call it what I want to. I have free speech. You can choose whatever you want to do too, okay? Here's where this gets interesting. Does AP's style book have political bias in it? Oh, the answer is yes. The answer is an unarguable yes, particularly on matters of race, immigration, and transgenderism. The AP's, quote, transgender coverage topical guide says, avoid what they call, quote, false balance, giving a platform to unqualified claims or sources in the guise of balancing a story by including all views. As in, don't treat the anti-trans views as of equal moral or political significance as the pro-trans view. One of my personal massive pet peeves with AP on their style book is the use of the phrase gender-affirming care, which is a tremendously value-laden expression. That is a biased expression. I would say it's a bigoted expression, although we usually say bigoted to mean only negative things, but it is biasing the conversation. It is a bigoted expression because it leads to such a change in the way you're supposed to think about these, what you would say is surgeries or hormonal therapies or bodily modifications, okay? Gender-affirming care is a biased term. AP uses that term for, quote, a swath of mental and medical treatments such as counseling, hormones, and surgery that help bring a person's gender expression, such as voice, appearance, and anatomy, in line with their gender identity. You will never hear me use that phrase as an actual description. I don't use that phrase because I think it is so biased. It is their guidance to use that phrase. They were one of the early adopters of that phrase. When it comes to race, Stylebook for AP advises that black as a race gets capitalized. Black as a color is not capitalized. White people's skin color plays into systemic inequalities and injustices, and we want our journalism to robustly explore those problems, but capitalizing the term white, as is done by white supremacists, risks subtly conveying legitimacy to such beliefs. White people generally do not share the same history and culture or the experience of being discriminated against because of skin color, so black gets a capital B, white does not. Now, I don't really care. I don't typically capitalize either of them, and I don't capitalize white either, but this is an example of AP picking a language use in order to emphasize the significance of black as a race and not give that same level of recognition and significance to white as a race. That's not just neutral reporting. That's a choice. Maybe a good choice, maybe a terrible choice, but that is a political choice. On immigrants, Stylebook frowns on the term illegal immigrant and says to use illegal only when referring to an action, not a person. Illegal immigration, but not illegal immigrant. They don't recommend undocumented immigrant and say the acceptable variations include living in or entering a country illegally or without legal permission for people immigrants lacking permanent legal status is their preferred phrase. That is also political. It's not neutral. That's shading the conversation by the way you describe it. Transgender activist with GLAAD, a notoriously famous pro-gay group, defends AP for trying to use inclusive language. Inclusive language is massively biased. Calling it inclusive is a value judgment. So is Trump and Carolyn Leavitt, are they right for punishing AP? No, because you have to be right on the particular case, and calling it the Gulf of America is dumb and unjustified and contrary to the whole tone and tenor of criticizing language changes for political effect. Whether it's patriotic effect or pro-trans effect or anything else, is still massaging and changing language for politics. That's bad across the board. Punishing AP for refusing to go along with your change of language for political effect is bad. But do they have a point in showing that AP itself is not just a neutral user of language? Yes, they do. So, I don't know. Two balls and a strike? Call it that way. So I am really glad this – credit to Axios and Mark Caputo for putting out this reporting yesterday, because finally you start to see a way where it makes a little bit of sense. We'll see how it plays out from here, but that's my, like, total analysis of the case. 654 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's Mount McKinley. It's Fort Hood. It's Fort Bragg. It's the Sears Tower. It's the Gulf of Mexico. I'm Andrew McKay.
With the arrival of the all-electric Volkswagen ID. Buzz, there's a lot of excitement generating at P4 Imports on New Warrington Road. The highly anticipated new VW van brings the past back to life while aiming toward the future with bold innovation that promises to impress. Catch an ID. Buzz on your exclusive test drive today. And while you're there, check out the 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport. These full-sized SUV models are available with 1.9% financing for 60 months or up to $4,500 in customer discounts. And the 2024 Tiguan, VW's crossover, is available for 0% financing for a full 60 months or up to $3,000 in rebates. Peakmore Imports on New Warrington Road has the distinctive and innovative design that Volkswagen drivers love to drive home. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peakmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Discounts are a standalone offer and not to be combined with special APR rates offered through Volkswagen Financial Services. Qualifying credit offers expire March 3rd, 2025.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's, wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee-owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet. Kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And may I help you, Dr.
Oh, it's me, Dr. Rosenphoenix. I'm just here to check out Danwick's file. Dr. Rosen, I'm here to get to the records room. It's Dr. Rosen. Hi.
Dr. Rosenphoenix. I haven't seen a spleen that large since breakfast. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I did find the reference I was trying to find earlier. It's from a website or a Facebook page that calls itself Donald Trump for President. I don't think that's an official site, but it was the funny one because it was Donald Trump for President saying, no one dead names Gulf of America and gets an invite. No fake news in the newsroom. Love it. I don't know if that's Trump or not saying that, but, you know, anyway. John Pickens got traffic for us. John?
That's right. We're dealing
with prejudice.
Wow. Wow, the traffic light at Molino Road and Highway 29 is not changing the turn signal to go southbound on Highway 29, so just be aware of that. Starting to see some backups there. No accidents to let you know about. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay now getting you through that construction zone. And if you're approaching 9 Mile from Highway 29 going southbound, you will see some delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, my God, the text. We had so many texts. I cannot read them all, but everything from you got me thinking about Istanbul, not Constantinople. It's Myanmar, not Burma, or is it the Gulf of America's Gulf of North America? We're showing them how it feels. You know, there's a big difference between renaming military bases and naming bodies of water. The Chappie as opposed to the 3 Mile Bridge. And on, and like I said, lots and lots of texts. Sitting in for David Wayne this week, we've got Steve Taylor in the newsroom. Steve?
Well, good morning. At least 18 people are recovering from injuries suffered when a Delta flight from Minneapolis crashed in Toronto yesterday. The regional jet was operated by Endeavor Air. It flipped completely upside down while landing at the airport there. Governor Andy Beshear is continuing to give updates as Kentucky remains in a search and rescue phase from those recent storms. The death toll from flooding in the Commonwealth now stands at 12. Hundreds of roads remain closed, and thousands of residents are without water or power. Apple is going to launch a new product tomorrow. Apple CEO Tim Cook announced the launch date last week, but didn't say what the product is going to be. Speculation is Apple's going to be taking the wraps off a new iPhone SE4. The revamped SE is expected to feature a larger screen, Face ID, and Apple Intelligence, and it'll sell about $500, and that's what's happening.
John, you were rolling your eyes at that report, and you're a big Apple fan.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What do you think?
The SC4 is just, it's a joke. But
it
anyway.
Understimulates you?
It does.
Okay.
I'm like, I really want a good product announcement.
Oh, yeah, no. And when you build it up and don't tell people, you set yourself up for failure. I got something to tell you, and then it's nothing. Hey, in the opposite direction, I have a really, really good Days of Our Milton coming up. Trust me. Listen.